Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now.
Let's hit record now.
Let's Jimmy record. Jimmy McCain did a post about Soar just spent like a gazillion dollars to acquire another company. And of course, this whole thing about, you know, what are PTs worried about? We're worried about the wrong things. And yes. And I responded with two things. We're confusing results with, you know, people want the human touch versus a result. I'm like, people want a human touch with the results.
Exactly.
Healthcare doesn't give them the result with the human touch. The research is unequivocal on this. It is absolutely clear. And it doesn't matter what age group you go to. So fuck all that.
Yep.
People want a result. And AI will give them that. Tech will give them that. So if you structure, right? If you structure, so Jimmy's thing was about Sword and, you know, they're taking PT. I'm like, no one knows what we do. And we only touch 10% of the people who can use us.
Exactly.
So no one's taking our business, right?
Yeah.
So I'll leave it at that for now. And so, yes. Yeah, so, but we gotta stop posting. You know, I saw another post, someone who works for a tech platform, right? AI won't replace healthcare providers. And I'm like, it's not even worth the conversation anymore because you're coming from the wrong mindset and the wrong question.
For sure.
Right? Because the conversation I got in with someone outside of healthcare this week, which is a lot more refreshing because they understand the problems. We're stuck on the inside. We have our biases and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Is really where I look at it, and we can look at any situation this way. I think a lot of what we talk about comes down to access. And access, by the way, means someone answers the fucking phone.
Yes.
You get to something, I'm going to just say something now, that can take you in a direction that can take you on the next step in your journey. The access issue right now, a lot of it is someone calling somewhere, no one picks up and they go, fuck it, I don't want to be part of this. And then they never follow through. That could have been scheduling at your brick and mortar, right? That could have been someone who can't afford it. So access is not just about money, it's about capacity also.
Yeah, it's funny, I was actually about to just do a post on this at some point, because one of the things that I've been ranting about lately, and honestly, I'm getting a little too get off my lawny with it, so I got to like back off a little.
That's my job.
So I'm just a huge believer in, you know, cash pay, out of network, in network, all the stuff you're talking about matters no matter what. And it doesn't matter what the medium of how you actually take those payments. It's about exactly what you just talked about, is building trust and access and actually doing the little things efficiently. I'll tell you something. So funny enough, actually, what I was just doing before we just hopped on this and started doing this was, you know, something that I also think that owners, to your point, need to get in the weeds. They need to understand the little details, like what's hanging people up. And I'll give you an example. So for me, like when it comes to front desk, I'm a big believer, and Owen was just on Jimmy's podcast talking about this.
I saw his picture.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Jimmy post.
It was great. They both did a great job in talking about this, and they talked a lot about the idea behind trust and building teams and leadership and so forth. It was really well done. And so one of the things that I would say when it comes to this trust was, we try and convert. You know, we do have fitness clients and we also have physical therapy clients, right? And so one of the big conversions for us is, how can we convert physical therapy patients into fitness members? Now, when you think about that, the LTV, the lifetime value of those customers, is expansive. It's awesome. Along with the fact of, I only have to pay for the cost of acquiring that customer one time. So it's a massive upside for us, massive, right? So in the essence of like, how we can actually do this process well, in my opinion, is literally calling the patients and just doing quality assurance calls to start, right? Like just building trust and doing that. So and the script framework is super simple. And so we were talking about this in the last podcast we did, right? Is the five-page, you'll like this, the five-page script, right, for how you do this. It's a four-step framework, right? This is what I do. And again, I think it comes across stronger for me because I'm one of the owners, right? So simple. So I just pick up the phone and I go, hey, so-and-so, super nice to meet you. I'm Brian from Evolution Physical Therapy and Fitness.
Wait, where are we in the journey of this patient? So I
This
get
is
to.
great point. So you can experience it. So this is a person who's already booked with us and done an evaluation.
So they've
Typically,
done an evaluation. Cool. So they've
yes.
had one visit.
Exactly. So exactly. And typically they've had 1, 2 to 3 visits. We're still playing
Cool.
with the time in the patient journey, to your point. That's
Cool.
the because the
Cool.
one
Well,
feature.
again, it's context, right? And context
Yes.
will determine
Yes.
what really needs to happen.
I love the way you said that because it is in the patient journey. They've now come in, right? So they've now essentially seen one of our therapists, right?
Yeah.
So for us, when they're coming in for physical therapy, I say to them, I go, I just want to know how the physical therapy went. I'm one of the owners. I just want to see how to go. And you know, listen, 90, the good news is 98% of these are, oh, that's like they it kind of catches them off guard to the point where like, it's amazing. I love Josh. I love Noah. I love Christina. I love whoever it is, right? This is awesome. And so then we start talking, and then the next question is more of where are you in that rehab journey? Like, how long, you know, for instance, one of the last people just said, hey, I'm a reverse total shoulder placement 3 weeks ago, right? Okay, well, they're not doing a fitness assessment one-on-one anytime soon, right? No problem. So the idea behind that framework is essentially what we do is, you know, we're that's probably the one thing we've talked about tinkering is like, should we call these people 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, whatever? But I'll take you through the framework. So the next step is once we have an idea of where they are in the process, it's like, cool, the question's more inquisitive and more of a question. So, hey, you know, a lot of patients that come to see us are active people, athletes, adults, whatever. They have different fitness goals or different, you know, activities they love to do. So I don't use the word ADLs, right? Don't get too technical, right? This the activities they love to do and want to get back to, like, what are your goals, kind of physical therapy and after physical therapy? And I use the word fitness in there, you know, that's very specific. And so generally that leads to a conversation of like, oh, I'm curious about, you know, what you're doing. And then what we do is we literally say, hey, because you're, and then the last part of the framework on the fourth question slash framework is more just letting them know what they have access to. And we give people say, hey, because you're an Evolution client, because you can work for us, or you work with us, every single person gets a free 30-minute fitness assessment as part of their, you know, process. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing? And depending on, I mold this script depending on, you know, the person who's had 4 weeks out of TSA. I'm like, hey, like, you know, if you're interested, I can call you back in 3 or 4 weeks. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing? We can just follow up and we can talk with the therapist and blah, blah. Yeah, I'd love to do that. No problem. And then we have like a way of organizing this on the back end with a CRM so the patient journey is solid. And we do that. And then we take notes and we have all that. Then also get the kid who's a 17-year-old kid who's, you know, hey, I'm 3 weeks out from an MCL grade 1 sprain. Knee's feeling pretty good. Seeing an orthopedist today. Well, guess what? Hey, that person might be ready to do this in the next week or so. And it does a couple different things. One is tactically, we actually do schedule people, but it's very low percentage that we actually schedule on these phone calls. What it does do, though, is it leads to more internal conversations amongst our physical
Well,
therapists and our
that's
patient
what I was going to
therapists.
say. I was going to
Exactly.
say, yeah,
Yeah. And it's
because
spot.
I think there are, right, there are things to do there. Again, what's the end result? What, right? It, by the way, that sell should start on the first phone call, right?
Yeah, you're
And
right.
so it really should. And so when you tell me you're 17 years old and you play soccer and you had an MCL sprain, and you tell me on the first phone call, and I'm like, well, you know, tell me where you are now, right? Well, what is your goal? Well, you know, the season starts in 2 weeks. Well, guess what? I'm going to say, well, awesome news, Brian. You called the right place because I have an expert who helps soccer players and helps people just like you get over knee issues and get
Exactly.
back to playing. So cool, social proof. And then I also told you we have an expert. But then by the way, the next words out of my mouth are like 10 words and it starts the sales process. And then we go into, we have a program for athletes just like you to keep you healthy and keep you getting stronger and stronger and stronger so you don't have this injury again. Boom. That's it.
I
All I
love
did
that.
was introduce it. Then they walk into the clinic. They see you guys have PT. They see a flyer on fitness, right? Now, during the plan of care, the provider should mention it again if they believe it's going to be part of the program. And it's not, well, we'll see. It's very specific. I went through this morning with someone. They gave me their script and it's a discovery call. And the third thing is, so how are you doing today? And then I said, get rid of that. This isn't a fucking cold call. This isn't rapport building. Hi, Brian. This is Dr. Jerry Durham. By the way, you were promised a call from Dr. Jerry Durham, an expert that was going to take you through a call to determine if we are the right fit for you. So be the fucking expert. There is no rapport building. So again, the PT mentions it in the plan of care. What I'm going to challenge you on, Brian, that call's not required.
That's cool. So how would you run it? I love that idea. Like
So
the
this is how I'm
yeah.
running it. So let me do this because it's January of 2026,
Yeah.
and I'm really hot right now on, meaning my emphasis on defining where the three words I use the most in any week are these three words, either a mix of them or one of them: patient engagement, patient experience, patient journey. And I already said this, right? I stopped you to say, where are they in their journey? Now, what I'm talking about is a larger patient engagement strategy. Patient engagement is the strategy and the structure and the plan we work from. In order to have a great patient engagement strategy, you need to understand your patient's journey in your business. This is what we're talking about right
100%.
now. They call us. What do we do on the first phone call? By the way, the welcome email has a blurb about and the fitness program, right? So then if we understand the journey, and the journey is they call us, well, what happens next? Well, they get a welcome email. What's in it? Well, there's paperwork. Did you tell them there was going to be paperwork? So we keep jumping back to step before. What we're building out once we understand the journey is the experience you want them to have. So it goes
100%.
patient engagement, understanding the journey, and then here was a huge tipping point in me for my journey. I thought that the patient experience is emotional. Cool, can't measure it. We can measure it. We build out systems and processes to deliver the emotions we want to deliver.
Yeah.
That is very structured. And so you get what you measure. And so the measure of a patient experience is drop-offs, right? Is arrivals, is lifetime value. So again, if we look at the three of those, then we can build out the program in the manner that I am talking about it right now. So again, if I understand patient engagement, and we know, and that's what we were discussing at the beginning when we brought this call up, how do we want to engage with our patients? So we brainstorm, hey, we got this fitness program. Let's sit down, right? We sit down, you, Owen, maybe a front desk person sits down. How are we going to roll this out? And so then we start doing what you and I exactly are doing. And then we go, and then we start going, where is the friction? Where is the opportunity of a drop off? Where is the opportunity of these negative things we don't want? And we keep filling these holes. I don't want them to have to meet a new person because in order for that phone call to be successful, check this out, a lot of those things I just said have to happen, and then they have to get introduced to a new person. But here's the deal. When the front desk is doing their job building trust, they show up, and let's say they're seeing Dr. Brian Wolf, right? In 99% of the clinic, zero trust built. Because by the way, if you're doing my secret callers, I don't even know your fucking name. So zero trust. So in your process, I'm showing up and there's more trust than somewhere else. So then I'm going to deliver, Dr. Brian Wolf's going to deliver what was promised. So trust is going like this. So why would we start all over with another person, dude? Right? People buy from people they know, like, and trust.
For sure, for
Okay.
sure.
So I wouldn't start it over, dude. And then we go, okay, that's the bigger picture there. So how are we going to build? Now, here we go again. How are we going to build this experience so that we can? And by the way, there's nobody who knows better if this person's appropriate for your fitness program than the PT who evaluate them.
100%.
Right?
This is what's
So,
actually cool about what you just explained. And I just, for people who listen to this, and I want to break this down as a person who's in the weeds, clinical owner trying to master this transition. And then I want to, I know I just cut you off, so I want to let you keep going. But
no, go for it. Go.
I also want to talk to you about the scaling side of it and playing with it, because this
Yeah.
is a really
Yeah,
interesting
dude,
aspect.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, because
And by the
what's
way,
it?
it's scalable.
100%, 100%. I mean, listen, we're proving it, right? We're doing it with what we're doing, but we're always trying to be more efficient and fine tune it. I think basically, this is what I'm hearing is, I am basically starting the conversation versus what you're talking about. So exactly. So to give you an idea of the framework of what Jerry just said and what I'm talking about is, basically for me is, I'm starting that conversation that he's saying the front desk can start. So essentially, I'm starting that conversation and then I'm passing it off to a fitness person and creating the engagement with the physical therapist and the fitness person, which I totally agree with you, by the way, 100%. What would ideally be amazing, obviously, look, as a business owner, you're always looking to remove yourself from different processes, right? Because the more that I'm in it, the harder it becomes. So it's actually a really cool insight in what you just talked about. So the idea of the front desk person, and we kind of talked about this on one of the last podcasts, right? It's like the customer service person, the salesperson, and then also the back office person. So the salesperson who's talking with this customer saying, "Oh, and I love that." But and you know, words matter. People don't realize how much words
Oh,
matter. So
dude,
the
dude.
so I want to also I don't want to skip over what Jerry said, like oh, cool, we help people, soccer players all the time with that MCL. And we also have like that is such a and we also have it's frictionless, right? It's not, oh, but maybe you're also interested in this, or but, right? But is that word that creates almost like a negative connotation to it. Oh,
Yeah,
and you know
we're not allowed to say, but it's got to
it,
be and.
exactly, right? That's a classic. It's like it replace, by the way, that's like an easy thing for a relationship, right? So they say it doesn't matter, everything after the but is what actually matters and what you're
You
thinking,
are
right?
correct,
Right,
right?
exactly, right. I know the books, I know the relationship books. So it's the idea of the same thing. So it's like, to your point, is one of those things, and you're also going to be interested in this program that we also have. And that is cool in the front desk point, because what you're talking about there is presetting. And the idea of the preset, that's kind of what I'm doing now, is I'm presetting the conversation that they're going to actually have with the salesperson. And by having the conversation with the salesperson, you know, i.e., and this is what I wanted to also talk about, the biggest thing that we've had issues with is our physical therapist selling. And I think that is an issue that is recurring in most businesses, insurance, cash, whatever. Because I talk with cash owners who then hire, and they're like, but they can't sell worth a damn, right? Or I talk with physical therapists who are insurance-based, and like, well, I don't want to sell anything, right? And it like stresses them out. So part of the idea of what we were trying to figure out is, can we take the PTs out of this completely? But I
No, dude,
totally,
you don't
you
want them
can't.
out. I just
Yes.
want to say this. We got to address this.
Yes.
I think her name's Jennifer Rogers yesterday tagged me and she talked about going out in network and how it's all sells, sells, sells.
Yes.
Here, I'm going to tell everybody the biggest, dirtiest secret in our whole fucking profession that no one ever owns. In network clinics have the worst arrival rates and the worst selling of anybody. So the people who can benefit from selling the most are actually the in network clinics. So
Yes.
again, you set the context at the beginning. We are not having an in network, we're not having a payer model based conversation. I
Yes.
tell people this all the time. 70% arrival rate at in network clinics, man. I
Yeah.
mean, by the way, close it down. Don't even fucking show up. You know,
I think
Verizon has less churn than you do.
we talked about this, right? And I think a little bit on the last podcast or one of the other ones, but I gave this tactical advice to somebody. Was I was like, if you just fix your churn rate or
Yeah.
even your natural inbound scheduling rate, you'll make tens of thousands of dollars more than if you just dump more money into marketing and get more leads, right? So this is like the idea of acquiring and selling, right? If I take that from 3 out of 10, 2 out of 10, and these are hotter leads, active people that are coming in, and put them through a better process, and again, that cost requiring the customer, now I convert them and increase the LTV. It's a masterful art, right? That actually makes that scales businesses. And to your point, I like that's what I was going to say, and I love what you just talked about, the in-network and the selling piece. So how would you scale these models? Because like say I give that feedback, well, all the time, like our PTs, like, don't sell, don't convert. For me, what I've found is by just even doing this little bit of this process, it just creates more conversation internally amongst our physical therapists and our strength addiction coaches. So therefore, they just refer in better, right? Because there's a tr because now the other trust that we didn't talk about and the results. The trust amongst me transferring my trust of my patient over to another person who's an SNC person,
Well, and
right? Yes.
don't forget, so there's that personal.
Yep.
Yet again, here we go again. The customer, the client, the patient is most likely to transfer over and do that because they trust you.
Yeah, for sure.
So then, and by the way, here's how it's scalable, and here's how you get the PTs to sell. By the way, this is about 16 years worth of work in like 30 seconds. So I want everybody to sit in this for a moment because I tear up every time I think about how long it took me to get to this. The heavy lifting. Okay, so there are three. This is why the providers have to sell, because there are three sell cycles in your business. One is at the front desk.
The initial eval.
One is at the initial eval, and then the third one is to complete the course of care. So, and the provider owns two of those, right? Yet here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Here's the big elephant in the room. Here's the big lie. The front desk, or sorry, the big Here's the truth, not the big lie. The front desk is doing the heavy lifting. The
Yes.
more selling you do earlier, the less selling you have to do later. Because why? Because trust is being built, because expectations have been set, because uncertainty has been lowered, risk has been lowered. So the better you do that process, I didn't even know my dog was in here. The better you do that process, the front desk, the less the front desk has to do. And by the way, I'm going to throw in this little asterisk right here, and we're not going to go into it. The best way to get your providers invested in selling is roll this program out to everybody in the room at the same time. The most success I have with groups is when I bring the front desk together with the intake people, the front desk people, the billing people, the providers, all in the same room, and I roll out the whole life cycle for that company and talk about everybody's role and responsibility. And then everybody in the room sees that everybody is playing an equal role in patient success. And then the providers, I literally say, your job is not to fuck it up.
Exactly. No, I what I would liken this process to, and that's why I literally call it sales setting, is just like in volleyball when you set the ball, right? You and I both know, and I'm not a big volleyball guy, but if anybody's touched a volleyball in gym class growing up, you and I both know that if I'm asking you to spike the sail, right,
Yeah, that
and
huge
win the
spike
point,
is set up by that
a
person who just put the ball.
1,000%,
And
right? So
that's
if
your
I,
front desk. Yeah, your
yeah.
front desk. And I don't like to use the word setter because that always goes to the salesperson, but
Yes.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the front desk is, you know what I say? The front desk is tipping off pitches. They're teeing up. So the front desk has basically told the
I like that.
provider, you're going to see fastball, breaking ball, and this at bat. And your batting average is going to go through the roof, right?
For sure.
So the front desk is, again, they are building trust. And my name is on a research paper, and it talks about not therapeutic alliance, which is that trust with the provider. It's called about team alliance. And I actually came up with this word called, it's more important the trust you build with the team than just the provider, right? And this idea and this challenge of get the whole team behind the journey, the
Yes.
experience you want to create, so they will execute on the patient engagement strategy. And then back to what we were saying, it's easy enough to go, we want more people. I love doing this. Hey, Brian, what kind of services you have? And you tell me you have this fitness program. And I go, I always do this. How's it going? And not very well. Not very many people moving in. And then I go, so do you have your PT selling it on discharge? Yeah, that's when we sell it. I'm like, no wonder. No one's going to buy it on discharge, right?
100%. I tell people we run so, I think what's always interesting in these conversations and for people listening to this that are either new to business and cash PT and by the way, I also judge the value of PTs that work for us based off of these types of skills. It's so interesting, right? Like I love the thing that Jimmy just did that speaking of Jimmy K again, we were talking about the Graham sessions at APTA and those kind of things and the business things that everybody's bringing up, right? Lower reimbursement rates, et cetera. And I was like, right here, what we're talking about really makes you kind of bulletproof around that, right?
Yeah, it
So
does. Yeah, it does.
yeah, exactly. Because it's our
Yeah.
cash-based services. So
100%, dude. I'm like, it doesn't matter what you want to do next.
exactly.
That's why that post yesterday, and I just found it. It's Elizabeth Rogers. I'm like, yeah, it's true, but not to the core, right? It's one of those things where, yeah, you're right,
Exactly.
but
But
yes, you're
exactly.
right. But let me tell you how you're wrong, because the but just said, it's every practice. It's not
For sure.
just one sales and out of network. And if there's one thing I could do going backwards, right, it would be to start with this mindset from day
Yes.
one, not year eight, dude.
That's the advantage that people will have just starting a business hearing a conversation like
You
this.
got it.
Because
You got it.
to me, one of the things that I think happened that I noticed when I was first starting out, it was just me, right? And then it was just my wife, and we were taking all the phone calls. And then we put in insurance processes with a front desk person. And you're just doing so much on the back end that you're kind of keeping your head up for air, right? And then you start installing these different systems, and now you're right, you're working backwards. So like anything that I tell people ask me this all the time. They go, "What are some things that you would have changed when you started Evolution?" And I go, "I would have planned to be the size I am now from day one." And now that being said, right, it's the classic people underestimate what they can do. Overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10. If you had asked me back then, that was 9 years ago, that I'd be where I am now, I would have told you absolutely not. However, I do see it now. And the biggest thing that I kick myself about is I'm like, damn, well, what if we're 10 clinics? So now my partner Mike and I, we talk about this all the time. We're like, well, hold on, does that scale? Right? The system we just
Yeah, it
talked
has to
about.
be,
Yeah,
right? It
the
has to
system.
be. And not
Yeah.
enough people ask that. And by the way,
Yes.
that brand new owner with no employees can go, how does this scale?
Yes,
By the way,
exactly. Exactly.
scaling is not about selling. I'm going to say this right now.
It's
Scaling
not.
is not about selling. It's about building an asset. And so if
Yes.
you want something of value, then you have to think scaling. Growth is not scaling. By the way, everybody calls it growth and scalability. I call it scalability and growth. You can't have true growth without
One
scalability.
1,000%. I tell people all the time there's two types of businesses, particularly in our industry, in the private practice, right? One is a cash flow type business where people are like, you can make more money, and you see it all the time now. And this is one of my big pet peeves about some of the different consulting businesses and blah, 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 is I'll help you make more money. You'll get your dream job. You'll start your dream practice. And it's like, hold on. And the one that fucking gets me the most, start your stress-free physical therapy practice today. I was like, what? Who is talking up like that? Stress-free my ass. I was like, if anybody, COVID, for those people, COVID
Dude, by the
defined
way, any
stress-free.
business during COVID, right?
Fucking hell. That
It
was
didn't
the
exist.
sketchiest time on the planet, right? So, to me, you nailed it. It's like this cash flow type of business where, and by the way, there are many people, their cash-based practice is absolutely killing it
Just
doing that
own
kind of
what
stuff.
you created, dude, right?
Exactly.
You can create
Exactly.
a job, own it, because I know very happy people who know they've owned
Yes.
a job, right? And
Yes.
owning a job means if you don't see patients, you don't get paid. There's nothing wrong.
Yes.
People have made careers out of owning jobs and they go on
For sure.
vacation and they spend time with their family. And by the way, they put money away. So the business is not the asset, my friends. Don't be
100%.
fooled. Putting money away is the asset, right?
Exactly. And I tell people all the time, like one of the things I preach on these podcasts all the time is this idea of entrepreneurship, right? Like you talk about sales. Like to me, I would tell any of my guys that want to make more money is like, hey, at this point, at this moment right here, what you can do in this sales process right here, you can create a whole nother cash-based program. A great example in this. I got a guy, and Owen was talking about this, is he was interested in doing golfers. So we talked about this. So now imagine your front desk says, oh, you got back pain. Do you play golf by any chance? Oh,
No,
you
they told you they
do.
play golf, dude. They told
Exactly.
you they're calling you because they play golf. We don't
Exactly,
even
right?
have to ask you, dude.
Because we know if it's a male with back pain during the spring, it's probably what, 70% chance they play golf in some capacity?
So you're just gonna, right? You're gonna again, and right, you're gonna move into this conversation.
Exactly. And so then the next conversation, what you're talking about is, hey, and something you might be interested in is our golf program. It's a really cool program. I'm going to put you with Harrison, who's super interested in this program. Cool. And
By the
now
way,
Harrison has that first conversation with him right
does
out of the
Harrison have
gate.
a DPT?
Yeah.
It's Dr. Harrison,
There you go.
DPT.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. So there you go.
Just
So
they want an expert, dude. I tell
yes.
you, right? It's this, the words matter. We said words
For
matter,
sure.
right?
And by the way, there's leveraging your DPT. Everybody who complains
By
about
the
the
way, I
ROI
love
on
this.
this.
I got to jump you on this. People ask me all the time, oh, you don't have a DPT. I go, no, but I support it. And nobody has leveraged it more than I have since it started. And I
Yeah.
don't have one because when I do a sales training, first question, are all your providers DPTs? Yes. Here's how we're going to sell it.
I love it. It's funny you say that
People
because what?
want an expert.
Well, I remember having a call with a guy with it was Alex Hormozi's group, and they were one of the guys. He's one of the main sales guys at Acquisition.com. He was working for a company called Prestige Labs, a supplement company before, and he was talking. This guy Ed Turney, good guy. Shout out to Ed if he ever listens to this. But Ed said to me, he goes, Brian, you're a fucking doctor. You should miss zero sales.
Everybody
When it
outside
comes to
is
fitness.
like,
He said
what are you
that.
guys doing?
Yeah. He's like, he
By the
said,
way, I
exactly.
did a secret caller recently and I was told I was going to see Joe at 9 o'clock. And I was like, Joe, I'm going to spend $175 to see Joe 9 o'clock on Thursday. I was like, you think I'm showing up?
Exactly. No, it's a really interesting process. And to your point, kind of going back to what I was saying is, say you build this golf program. And again, I tell people like, small group, a tactical advice, small group 3 times a week outside of your 40-hour schedule. So not a ton of work, 2 hours, right? All of a sudden you're charging $150. I was saying this to Owen. I was like, you do 8 people at a time in that capacity, small group, or 6 people at a time, small group. It's a simple type of exercise program. You're pulling $30,000 to $40,000 extra dollars a year. You know what I mean? And now it's scalable and you can actually build and have other providers. So like to me, that's the power of these hybrid clinics and these cash-based systems is like the ability to actually grow these things properly. So we do this all the time. And so to your point, thinking about if physical therapists are like, hey, I want to start my own cash-based practice and I'll make X amount of dollars more. I'm like, if you just started this within a practice that's already established, that already has CRMs, that already has front desk staff, that already has all these people, you're banging your head against the wall for years before you get to that capacity and that point and scalability. And that's where I think system scale. It's simple
Yeah,
system scale. It's that
systems,
simple. Yes.
nothing. Now, mind you, I will say in January of 26, I grew up on E-Myth. It was one of the top three most impactful books of my journey because it was you can't scale you. All I'm going to say is I'm going to put
Yep.
this little caveat, AI is going to allow you to scale yourself, but for
For
right
sure.
now, you can't scale yourself. It's a job, right? Hey, I want to double back because we jumped over that question. So we're talking about selling the fitness program, right? And you asked, is it scalable? Well, you asked it in a way of, right? So that's the beauty of this because I get you being in the process. So I want to double back to that phone call and all of this fits, right? Again, patient engagement strategy, what's the journey? And then what is the experience I want to create? Well, the experience I want to create is, right, we want high touch, we want no surprises, and we want people to know of the services that we offer far before they need it, so they are prepared to buy it if they so wish. Boom.
Yes.
Right. So we are in a we're in a culture of setting and managing expectations. So all of this fits together. So scalability wise, right, getting the best salesperson. You see, this is what's funny. I'm like, the best salesperson goes on the front. You just bear with me. It sounds to me like we're trying to insert another salesperson. I'm like, that's because you don't trust the other salespeople. So I'm
Yeah.
like, let's train the sell. So again, the investment I'm going to make is hiring the right salesperson and do the right sales training for everybody. And I guarantee you, beyond a reasonable doubt, the fitness program will be successful. And then it's scalable. Why? Because the front desk is doing the heavy lifting. And a lot of those things you were saying, by the way, here's the other thing. I want other people to hear this too, that you were saying that hit me. Why would you, just bear with me on this, why
Yeah.
would you interrupt their journey and start asking them the same questions they've already answered, dude, twice now, right? Now you're making them answer a third time. Think about
Yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Right. And this is what I want because people don't understand this part. I want to challenge you because my thing was so let's go back and let's go. No, you want to keep it this way. Cool. Here's the one thing I change. Get all the fucking information you need before you get on the
Exactly.
call. Hey, Jerry, this is Dr. Brian Wolf. I know you're seeing Dr. Harrison for a golf injury. And from what I see in the note or from what he tells me is you're progressing very well, right? And I know you want to get back to playing 18 holes 3 days a week. Boom. See what I'm saying? You're acknowledging from the get-go, and they're like, wow, they know me. Wow, they communicate, right? Don't make people, by the way, one of the top complaints about healthcare is people hate repeating themselves, right? So in this process we just talked about, they're now repeating themselves for the third time. So this is why I love this. And even the SOP I have for how the provider greets the new patient is at the very end, they say, hey, Jerry, I know you spoke to Becky or Bill at the front desk. I have all the information you shared with them. So A, you're just saying we talk. So trust is going up. But here's the next one. The next one's a kicker. So if I make you repeat yourself, it's so I can do a deeper dive into your history, right? So I mean, we're checking all the boxes off here, dude. And trust is going up with every one of these questions. And again, the person to sell that program is that person right then and there, dude.
For sure. Well, why that's so good, and again, for those who didn't listen to the last podcast we just did about the front desk path, concept and splitting up those tasks and responsibilities, definitely listen to it because it will touch on what you just talked about, what Jerry just talked about. But to me, the biggest part of the sales process, when you have that salesperson, right, who's doing this and is trained, you're really talking about a front desk person. Not that's a one trick pony, but this is the main thing that they do. And what I love about the idea is that when that comes through, it just accelerates the process that much faster. And again, listen, the reason I love this framework we're talking about is it takes me as a business owner completely out of it, right? In theory, it just should be done efficiently in that way and installing it. And again, like there are really good times to, we just had a great front desk person. It's actually a virtual assistant. She was somebody we use a system called Welcomeware. They're phenomenal. They basically are facing interaction with patients. They can do inbound, they can do outbound. And just, for whatever reason, had to basically resign effective immediately from our positions. It sucked. It's one of those things where we're like, this is send us all into a tizzy, right? But I tell everybody, go, wait, this has a way of us resetting. So the first thing is I'm talking in this conversation with this, I was like, we're going to hire two new front desk people, right, in person, and then we're going to hire a VA. And these are the systems we can put in place when you're training new people. I think a lot of times when you have somebody who's a front desk person who's been there for a long time, always done it one way, right? How many times, let me ask you this, Jerry. How many times have you run into that shit, right? Because it drives me bananas, where I've gone to a front desk person, we bought a clinic or we did something like that, and I say, hey, this is something that this is how this process works. And then someone goes, well, we've always done it this way, and this is really what's worked well for us. And then how do you, and that's the internal belief. And it's like,
By the
some of
way,
the
it's
immediate.
easier. The better question is how many times does that not happen? Because it's a way smaller number, right? Because it happens
Yes.
all the time. I just, again, what we're back to, and this is, I moved this way up in my process. So what I do is, right, when I work with a client, so let's say I'm going to go in to work with a client because I'm going to run into the same thing, dude, because here's this bald dude wearing glasses who cusses all the time, who walks in the door and says, you're going to start selling at the front desk and this is the way you're going to do it. And they hear longer phone calls and they hear more work, right? So I've got to beat that down quick. So my onboarding and my work to do is A, learn about the business and the pre-arrival part of it, especially as quickly as possible. And then get as many metrics, not as many, get the key metrics. What's their first visit arrival rate? What are they tracking leads, right? So I look for the whole. So when someone says, well, we're doing that, I might say, well, how much do you like managing the cancel calls that come in every day? Oh, that's a pain in my ass. How much do you like rescheduling calls? Pain in my ass. How much do you like when people don't show up? And I know the numbers. Oh, I hate that. Well, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you guys get rid of all that,
Yeah,
right?
it's awesome.
So again, that whole idea, well, we've done it this way, right? We've done it this way. So I'm going to tie it back to the metrics that I've learned over time that dictate or tell you the amount of chaos. So I've gone to the strategy of, the reason we do a front desk sales process is to improve first visit arrival, increase people's likelihood to pay and then to stay. And if you think about those three things, every bad metric is in there. So instead of saying we're preventing cancels, I say let's drive arrivals. Instead of saying we're sending more people to collections and our copay collection rate down, I'm like, we're going to get people to pay. And then, oh, we have a, everybody calls to cancel. We're going to, or nobody completes a plan of care. We have drop-offs. We're going to get them to stay. So I turn this around and say, look, all this down, and I've proven it over and over. And by the way, it's the stuff I'm sharing with you. And it's stuff I learned from other people. It's not mine. I took it and
Yeah.
applied it. Is there is a downstream chaos. And I go, you guys know what I'm talking about? And you start to see them go, yeah, I think so. I'm like, it's every cancel call. How much? I go, what is the impact of putting someone on for Thursday at 3 o'clock and then getting a call at 1 o'clock and they cancel? And you've got your wait list. I said, should we talk about the death spiral that occurs? And by the way, no one sees it and experiences it except you answering the phone. So my key, again, I'm answering your question, is I want them to understand, I feel you, man. I know you, and I'm here to make your fucking life better.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I mean, and I think one of the things that I'm listening to, and I've just taken from other people and other stuff, that basically one of the things that you just talked about was several different things that we want to change. So I tell people there's no like silver bullet. It's not,
No, there
it's
isn't.
not, but, and I'm, by the way, totally stealing these phrases too from the Jim Launch guys and Alex Hormozi guys, right? And all those guys, is there's no silver bullet that will fix that type of process you're talking about. But there's a lot of golden BBs. And I tell people all the time, it's like, here are the little inserts of how we can build this. And it's funny because I would actually say, like, our arrival rate, first patient when they're booked, I like a week track all these things and they're quite good. What I love is the sales process involved earlier, right? Because I only think that will make that even better. And the upselling is kind of weaved into that whole thing. So it's,
It's we did,
yes.
this is that thing there. It's like, oh, upselling. I'm like, where? It's just
Yeah.
conversation. It's about making you aware. Remember, this is how you pitch the selling to PTs and say you're going to upsell. You're making people aware of the programs we have that can benefit them.
For sure, 100%. That's it. And
That's an
it's
upsell, right?
yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I told you know, and I'll tell you the story, and you'll like this. I had a I have some. We do a lot of stuff with teams and strength conditioning stuff, and we do a lot of stuff with athletes and whatnot. And one of my guys is an awesome SNC guy. He's fantastic. And I said to him one time, he was like, but it was this like 1.5 years ago. He's gotten much better now. I think from the mindset of literally this conversation was kind of a pivotal point. He was like, Brian, but don't you feel like a used car salesman selling stuff at times? And I go, you're the used car in that situation. I was like, do you think you suck? Do you think you're the shitty car? And I was like, just think about that for a second. I go, no, I believe in you and what you do. Like, we hire great providers. We hire people that are amazing. We create a
That was
system
a
where they can
patient who
thrive.
said that?
No, it was one of our employees.
One of your employees, of
Right?
course. Yeah.
And so that's what happens, right? It's like it's the thought process. Oh my God, I gotta sell. Oh my God, I gotta sell. Right? And it's like, no, what you just said, again, words matter. You're just informing them on different services that we provide that can help them. That's all selling is. Selling is, and people buy things from people they know, like, and trust. You nailed it, right? And the idea behind that is, here is this program. I am now this guy you know, like, and trust. Here's this program that you're going to do with me. Oh, and by the way, the next step after this is other really good program that I think would be amazing for you. Do you want to hear more about it? Cool. Hey, we're not ready now, but maybe it's something we talk about in the future. Hey, you want to talk about
Well,
it now? You know what I mean?
that's the
It's all those
thing.
things. Exactly.
Here's the other thing. This was big. My office in Philly had a bunch of Beastie Boy posters and one written thing on the wall. And it said, "You control and own the process, not the outcome." We are really, really bad at this in PT. We always own the
For sure.
outcome. We never focus on the process. So in all the work I do, and I love getting in front of practice owners and saying this, all that matters is the process is followed. The outcome is the outcome that should be arrived. So if you're moving someone through their journey to get back to running a marathon, right, then your plan is your process. And that process needs constant monitoring and updating, just like we do. Where,
Totally.
by the way, this is what's so funny. And one of the top five books I ever read really keyed me in on this. This person is moving through a journey that they are on in their life and with us, right? Through this journey back to running pain-free. And they have all these goals and all these objectives they want to meet. And then here we are on the other side, moving through a journey with you. And we got a shitload of business objectives and shit we need to do to fucking get paid. Most of the time, those don't align. We are very poor at focusing on their journey and doing the things that then feed back into our business objectives. See, it's funny, and right, all we ever talk about is documentation and billing. And I'm like, yeah, but if people show up, isn't billing easier? Isn't documentation easier, right?
Thousand
If
percent.
people are following their plan of care, I'm like, if you focus on them and their journey and getting them to execute, then guess what? Magically, all this other shit falls into place, right?
100%.
And
100%.
so trust the fucking process. And when I evaluate phone calls and listen to sales calls, step one is, was the process followed? And if not, the result is null and void, but they showed up. I'm like, you're flipping a fucking coin. You
Yeah.
know what, Jerry? They objected on price. I'm like, what'd you sell them? You didn't follow the process. There was no price, right? This is what I love. Everybody wants to know how to deal with objections. I'm like, follow the process and watch the objections disappear.
Yeah, that's a really good framework of what you just talked about. And the Way of the Wolf is one of my favorite sales books of all time by Jordan Belfort, right?
Yeah, and
The Wolf. The
I've
Wolf.
read just about, there's probably not a sales book you can mention that I haven't read.
Yeah, and one of the things that they talk about all the time, to your point, is, and again, objection overcomes are very, very minimal in my opinion. There's really three, and that's it. And it's a delay tactic on most of them. And most of them's time and money, and then my
Well, hold
spouse,
up. Yeah,
you
we're
know.
gonna, by the way, we're gonna do
That's
another
a
podcast on this. We're
exactly.
gonna do
And
another podcast on this.
I tell people, if you're doing the sales process right, you've actually addressed all those major things before you got to your pitch anyway.
You are
And
correct.
so and so and therefore, or you've at least, again, teed up in that process and being like, oh, like this is why I love what you talked about with the front desk, is the idea with the front desk is, hey, like, this is something that's interesting. You know, because for in-network providers, the nice thing about in-network providing is it truly does reduce one of the main
Careful.
friction points, right, for most people, which is financial to a
Well,
degree. I mean, though, I got people paying deductibles
but
right now in
yeah,
deductible season, you know.
I really want to be, I don't want to equate any of that to an easier because,
Fair.
by the way, people have $100 copays and I'm
But the
finding it more and more.
well, so that's exactly what I was going to touch on. I literally got a text today. Hey, I'm paying, $118 copays for deductibles, and my daughter and I are in. It's killing me, right? And
Yeah,
so,
and they're in network. So I'm like, this
exactly.
isn't right. So
And
I
I'm the
just want to be
cheapest
careful.
option, right? Quote unquote, cheapest option. So when you think about this process, right, in general, you just nailed it. It's the idea of, hey, this person's going to be talking to you about this system, and then the next person's going to talk about the system as well. And therefore, it should be a very seamless process. I totally agree with you. I think that type of stuff is, and if the sales component is around the fact of you have this problem and we have this program that solves that problem, right? Then that should help a ton. And
That's it,
that's
dude.
it.
That's the core
That's
of
it.
this.
Yes.
Number two. So I have a 5-step process. I'm going to say it out loud and I'll give it to anybody who wants it. It's sitting on my desktop. It is floating around there. Sorry. So number one is acknowledge and really acknowledge the call is done, by the way. The call is set or killed in the first 45 seconds.
Totally.
So acknowledgement has to happen. Now, acknowledgement has to be woven through the whole call, but just work with me. Step one is acknowledgement. Step two is find their problem they want solved. That is not a goal. That is not their story. That is not tell me what's been going on. We need a problem they want solved. Step number two. Step number three is start to get their expectations on past experiences and on what they expect from you. This is the most undervalued, devalued, most misunderstood step. And in all my history of listening to calls and doing secret callers, nobody has ever gathered this on a call. And I'm telling you, it is the fucking most. And by the way, this goes in order. So for me to say this is the most valuable, it's most valuable after you have their problem be solved. But it is missed. I've never heard it repeated with people I haven't trained. So that's step three. Step four is sell the expert. And that's the easiest part. And you've already heard me do it. Brian, we have just the expert here for you, but I built to that. Then I have to sell you what is going to happen on your first visit. What are you investing your time, money, and energy with on in that first visit with that expert? Then I got to find out how you want to pay. And then I recap and we're done. And I know those are 6 steps. But I think in the way I've doubled some of that stuff up, it's a 5-step process. If you go through that process, right, it's built around in order. It keeps building. It's almost like an inverted pyramid. You acknowledge, right? There's this big part. So it's the heavy lift at the top. But by the time I get to time, money, and energy, I'm repeating back 90% of what you already told me. So I'm using your words, your verbiage, your things all to sell you. You want
100%.
this, yeah. Because then, by the way, I tell people if an objection comes up, you're set up because you already agreed to all this. And I'm just going to repeat back to you, right? So this is a process built around a problem to be solved, and a diagnosis is not a problem to be solved. Nobody in the history of physical therapy has ever called physical therapy for low back pain, even though you schedule them for low back pain. They've called because they have pain with something, they can't do something, something is interrupting their life, but it is not low back pain. It is, I have pain for 35 minutes when I first wake up, and man, I'm not willing to get up 35 minutes early, and my pain is bad, and it takes 35 minutes before it's even bearable, before I can go down the steps. That is why people are calling not fucking low back pain, right?
100%. It's the same thing. I can't hold a cup of coffee. I can't exercise. I can't ride a bike. I can't play with my kids. I can't.
Whatever it is, you got to
100%.
get to that core issue, that
Yes.
problem. And it's funny because I see these 5-page scripts that we've talked about before. And people get this. You know what's funny? By the way, I'll guarantee this. I will guarantee this. People oversell. Everybody who tells you they hate selling oversells like a motherfucker. They talk. And the person who talks most, this was for Mosey.
Loses.
The person who talks most on the call, he has conceded control. The person who's asking the most questions is in full control,
For sure.
right? So if you take that, everybody should be like, oh shit, because everybody's just spewing and overselling and overselling. And let me tell you what we do. And I'm like, does that align with what they want? Well, they wanted physical therapy. I'm like, what the fuck's physical therapy?
Yes.
Right? So actually, the best salespeople just say, so Brian, tell me. What is the problem you're looking to get solved? Oh, I'm so sorry you have low back pain, yet you've called the right place. Here at Evolution Physiotherapy, we help a lot of people with low back pain. So here's what I'd like to do next. And I'm going to ask you a permission-based question. Will that work for you? Yeah, cool. So I just keep going through it. And then, by the way, I'm going to mention, right, this whatever it was, the low back pain, right, of whatever you need from us. I'm going to sell that over and over and over. So that 5-step process, it just spirals and gets bigger and bigger and bigger into selling the solution you have based on what they need from you.
1000%. The number one thing that I see with bad salespeople in general, and I explain it to all of our guys, I go, You just what you talked about is like if you're not asking questions and taking control of the conversation through questions, then you're losing the sale. And the reality of it is a great example of that sales process. And again, because you're trying to build trust, I love what you talked about and coming circling kind of back to where we started here in that sales conversation. How do I know? It's the classic sell me this pen, right? The first question you should ask every single person that's actually not said in the movie of Wolf of Wall Street, for those who watched it, is if I said to Jerry, if Jerry said, sell me this pen, the first thing I would say is I say, well, Jerry, how long have you been in the market for a pen for? And if you said, I'm not buying a pen, well, you know what the fucking conversation should be? Get the hell out of the conversation and move on to the next lead because he's not going to buy any of that shit. So it's the reality of the situation is like in that scenario, a lot of it is, hey, how long have you been in looking for a pen? Oh, okay, cool. What kind of pens have you had in the past, right? What kind of pens do you like? What color do you like, right? Because if Jerry says I like using a black ink pen, right? Don't show him the fucking blue pens, right? You know what I mean? Like it's these simple things that I think makes the most
So,
sense.
and
And
by the way, this I want people to hear it, this goes into setting and managing expectations. So, right? So once you tell me you want to get back to weightlifting 3 days a week and you can't go at all right now because you're low back pain, then we got to start. And by the way, no, sorry. Then we got to start finding out what have you done? Have you tried
Thousand
anything
percent.
for this? Yes, I have. Oh, magic. Expectations align with outcomes. Trust aligns with outcomes. I can guarantee you at the end of this call with your front desk, and by the way, fucking AI is going to be able to do this sooner than
For
later.
sure.
We're going to be able to judge a person's trust level at the beginning of the call and at the end of the call. And I'm going to use that to bonus people to set payroll.
Yeah. Oh, it's
The more
fascinating.
trust you build at the end of that call, the less trust. So I call it tilting the playing field. Right. We always say up, going up, but I'm like, no, you tilted the playing field. Right. Most clinics, like, hey, you're scheduled with Joe at 9 o'clock. I'm like, there is no trust. It's just flat. So I'm showing up and we're rolling the dice, dude. But at the end of one of my calls, you're running downhill, man. You're running downhill. And then by the way, I'm passing you the baton. Just continue. That's the other thing. You're not selling, you're continuing a conversation.
For sure. When you've taken through like a very easy sales process that's very simple, you realize like it's kind of like you're just led in the door, going through. It feels very natural. It doesn't feel
Well, and
like
this is a whole nother podcast too, right here,
for
because
sure.
we're putting way too many people on the schedule. This is what I love, man. I'm going upstream and I'm going upstream with AI and I'm going to triage because we are putting the wrong fucking, we are wasting more time, money. And here's the thing, we waste our clients' time, money, and energy, which then we're wasting our providers' time, money, and energy. And I'll go to the mat on this. This to me is my solution to burnout, and I believe it's a big component. Because we're
100%.
stuffing the funnel and we're scheduling everybody.
Yeah. Well, because one of the things I think that also we talked about AI and we've chatted about this, like if you think about the billing documentation, all that stuff, that's all going to be streamlined with the AI. It already is. And so the reality of that is like, say the physical therapist, well, I got to write my notes or I got to do this. It's like, we said to all of our guys, I'm going, listen, we invested in the AI, the documentation systems quickly. And I said, I'm not going to shove, there's going to be companies that are going to be short-sighted and shove more patients on people's schedules and people are going to get more burned out and pissed. I was like, what I'd rather you do is what we're talking about here, optimize the sales process, the upsell, learn these conversations, feel comfortable having those conversations, do these things. And by doing that, it should only optimize everything to more people can make more money. It's that simple. And so that to me is the huge piece of it. And you're right. That's a whole nother
Yeah, and I
podcast in
like the
itself.
AI transferring the information because this is, by the way, as of January 28th, 2026, I'm signing an agreement with a platform. And I'm building out the process, dude. And part of that process is going to make sure the right information gets transferred so that when the provider picks up that chart or walks in the room, they see all of this.
It's
And they're
awesome.
going to, and by the way, I've heard the feedback on this pre-AI. When the provider walks in and repeats some of that stuff that was said at the front desk, agreement goes through the roof, dude.
100%.
And it has nothing to do with your clinical skills.
Oh, you talked about me before I
That's
got here?
exactly what happened. It's people actually saying that and then watching them just sit
Right?
back,
It's
right?
that
And I'm
simple.
like, you could have sold them the Planet Care at that moment in time,
You know,
right?
one of the things that I think comes from these conversations that I have with these people is I go, oh, I'm going to talk to so and so about this. We'll make sure we chat internally and we'll call you in a couple weeks. How's that sound? Oh, that sounds amazing. It's exactly what you're talking about. And then what you're doing is just streamlining the system. So it really actually happens and scales
Yeah,
like a
and so you
motherfucker.
walk in and
Exactly.
I'm repeating back. So, Brian, I know when you spoke to Becky up front that you talked about, right, getting back to the gym 3 days, and they're going to pee themselves because what
Yeah.
alternate universe is this, right?
For
And
sure.
so
In
all this stuff's going
healthcare,
to
right?
feed into it. But
Yeah.
also, what I also want is we talked about this a little bit, and I want to a little earlier, but I want the front desk putting the best people on the schedule. And this, by the way, is what else we're really bad at is what patients do best in our clinics.
For sure.
AKA, what are our ideal clients? And by the way, you and I both know, oh, people who are in network, oh, I hate workers' comp, oh, I hate Medicaid. I'm like, if we actually take that out and just treat everybody the same, we're going to get a little of all of that in the business
Exactly.
because they should be on the schedule
Yes.
because they are the best fit for us. If we stop excluding and making judge, because by the way, here we go again. I love this. You want to say what I say to front desk people? Oh, we're doing it this way. It's always worked. It's like insurance is the most important thing to everybody who calls here. I go, but you're in network. So why aren't 100%? Dude, freeze a room. You guys are in network, right? So why isn't your arrival rate 100% if all people care about is insurance? Oh, well,
100%.
yeah, that's not what I meant. I'm like, that's what you said. So let's have this conversation right now.
Exactly. The difficult conversation.
So
Right.
again,
Totally agree.
let's make it about that. And by the way, that 5-step sales process should be the same everywhere, regardless of payer model.
No, 100%. That I am lockstep on 1000% and have been just ranting on probably over, like I said, the get off my lawn aspect is people got to, PT's got
The
in
get off
particular
my
guys.
lawn is quit fucking talking about
I
payer model, man.
exactly. It's about building a business that's trust, how to create sales, how to create the right models, right? How to create the right systems so that you can scale this thing. That's what it comes down to. And if the goal is, like I said, I know people that have plenty of cash-based practices, non-cash, whatever, and it's just them in the business with one other person, like a front desk person, and they crush. That works too, right? So it's, again, to your point, I totally agree. I
Just
totally
own
agree.
what you created. That's all I ask because,
Yeah.
people will reach out and want to argue. I'm like, dude, I didn't say there was anything wrong. So usually I start the articles with, if you created a job, high five, own it. If you want to create a business, high five, own it.
One
But
thousand
you
percent.
can't stand in the middle and bitch about the other side.
100%. We were just talking about this. I was commenting on a post. I missed it before about remote therapeutic monitoring and how, like, in my opinion, it took someone having to incentivize being paid for this for us to call patients in between appointments to do what I'm talking about. I'm not billing remote therapeutic modeling. I look at it as a sales process. I look at it as, hey, we are trying to begin and start a sales process that we can essentially 10x what, if you're just thinking about remote therapeutic monitoring, what you got to call twice for $26, I value my time a little more than that. I'm looking to upsell programs that are multiple thousands of dollars and create that LTV. So I think that's where people are missing that framework. It's like here's how you got to think of it, and here's the system you got to set up in that patient journey. I totally love that idea. It's absolutely right.
So I had two calls, three calls with RTM as the like one of the top two topics today. And I told someone on one of them, oh, because it was someone new. And he said, what do you know about RTM? I said, my goal at this point in my life, one of my top two goals is one, when I die, that RTM will be considered a patient engagement tool and not a revenue stream, right?
Yep. Oh, so well put. That was more eloquently put. Well done. Totally agree.
Yeah, and so, it's funny because I've been doing some work with a couple RTM platforms, and I ask them, who's contacting you? All the network people. Yeah, the these cash pay people, but there's no value there. I'm like, every cash pay clinic should be on a fucking RTM platform. I'm
This
like,
is the issue.
the greatest value, right? Yeah,
This
so
is the
even
issue.
the platform people are going, yeah. And I'm like, the greatest value is to the cash pay side. If you see
Thousand
it as a
percent.
patient engagement tool, then the greatest value is to the clinic with the greatest
Need for
LTV
engagement.
clients, right?
Right.
So, by the way, I should, right? Because I'm making it payer model wise. So, the greatest value of an RTM platform is the clinics with the greatest LTV.
Yes. 1000%. 1000%. It's pretty
So,
simple.
And again, I, you know, part of there's a million takeaways from this. And by the way, we should put a fucking paywall in front of this thing,
Yeah, that's right.
and
Exactly.
generate some money off of it.
Yeah.
This understanding patient engagement, patient journey, patient experience is, I want people to hear this connectedness, is how I took what Brian shared with me about that sales process. I love it, my hand went up.
There is, yeah, exactly.
Is how I went through Brian's sales process. And when he was talking to me about that sales process, was my first question, where is this patient on in their journey? And then as he was telling me, and I was thinking about, but what happened this step before? But didn't he just share that? Why wasn't that information shared? That's me going, okay, what kind of experience do you want? And by the way, we can, a lot of this can be solved by saying, hey, Jerry, by the way, you're going to get, I'm the PT talking to my client. Hey, Bill, by the way, you're going to get a call from Dr. Brian Wolf. He's one of our owners here. He's going to check in on you. So, again, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Totally,
Yet
totally.
you could build it out that way. And I do this for people who decide they want to handle certain things a certain way. I'm like, it's your business. So let's put a process together to set and manage expectations.
Yep, because what you just said, I mean, what I love about the process is, and this is something that people need to take away from this. And again, for those people who don't listen to this whole call and don't take any value from there, I don't know how to help you. Because this is one of
Dude,
those things where,
there's
like,
no, I'm sorry.
I know we need to land our plane for sure here. I know we got to get there, but we could talk for hours between you and I and talk about this process. But one of the things you just talked about is just these little small details that it's like make them paramount and you don't miss again that golden BB. What's so interesting is just in my sales process, Jerry just said this. You could have the provider just walking out the door. The provider could say, "Hey, and Brian's going to follow up with you, the owner of the clinic, to talk a little bit about some of these programs we chatted about today." And
And guess
that's it.
what? And guess what? The probability and likelihood of the result we want just increased.
100%.
So, right, it's risk mitigation. This is funny, right? Oh, our post program isn't doing very well. When do you mention it at discharge? I'm like, so you put it all on one. This is the thing. When the front desk doesn't sell, we then put all this work onto the provider. They have to build trust. They have to manage and set expectations. They have to find the problem to be solved. They have to make sure they know what's going to happen. They then have to pitch a plan of care that they weren't expecting. So that's what we expect the providers to do. We have to, and then we ask them to meet objections, and we ask them to talk about costs. And then we go up to them and go, did they schedule? And when they say no, we yell at them. I'm like, no fucking shit.
Yeah,
Right. And
exactly.
so it just doesn't work, dude. So again, this is reverse engineering the experience I want my clients to have. And therefore, by the way, it makes it easier. We're not going to go down this before anybody says put employees first. I put clients first because I say in the ecosystem of your business, you have to first understand who you're going to serve so you can build out the systems and processes and then hire the right people to deliver. And then
Yes.
magically, you get happy employees. You don't have to worry about going, are my employees happy? You hired the right people in, because I talk about if I create this journey and this experience, I can, the most valuable part of that is not the systems and the scalability, it's the hiring and training and onboarding process. So once you map out your patient's journey, there's so much value in that first front desk person, that fifth front desk person. You show them their role in the patient journey. And I'm going to tell you right now, most of them are going to opt out. They're not going to call you back, and you're going to go, thank God I rolled this out.
Yep, it's so true.
Because the wrong people aren't going to take the work, and the people who do are going to warn and work in this environment. And we create this happy employees, which feed happy customers, which feed happy employees. And we've created a fucking monster in a good
Yeah,
way.
I love it, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. I feel like that's where we should kind of wrap this up. Do you have any other things you want to
No,
talk
I,
about?
you know,
That was beautiful.
it's all this work and everything we've talked about really comes back to what I realized after 18 years of doing this and putting it all together was, you know, part of my sell with the training process is all these SOPs become part of the hiring and training process. And I go, and when I train people on how to self-evaluate, because everybody's wondering, oh, accountability, meetings, everything else, I'm like, no, I'm going to train everybody. They were hired into this, knew this was important. They were trained and onboarded with it. And guess what? We use the same tool to evaluate them. So nothing's ever new. It's just for the employees, it's a continuation. No surprises, manage and set expectations. So again, we've created, And the sooner you do this, the better. Because, by the way, guess what, people? When I went out of network, we fucking flipped every single front desk person, rightfully so. And I apologize to every one of them when they quit because it wasn't the culture and the processes they hired into, which it proves this point. I always said, on hindsight, the PTs were always doing what they needed to do. This is interesting. When I flipped out of network, none of my PTs left. So what's that tell you? They were just had to continue doing what they were already doing. They were
100%.
doing the right work. By the way, we survived it all because my front desk, I had to rehire them and they adapted, and my PTs just delivered what they were already doing. That was
For
one of the
sure.
biggest surprises. So, right, you learn quickly, and then we had the right people in the system, and then things got better and easier and simpler. So all of this I talk about, really, the sooner you do it, the better your journey is going to be and the less friction on your journey. And as I like to tell everybody, you're going to make all your own mistakes. Don't make mine, right? So do this earlier. That's my big takeaway.
Love it. I mean, that's awesome. It's well put. Thanks, Jerry. Do you want to pitch anything? I know we talked about
No,
your
I
constant
mean, go to
service.
my, I'm, so this is, yeah, as of February 1st, I'm going to, basically, this is going to be more of my podcast going forward. So my podcast is what's best for the patient is best for business. And now I am rolling out a podcast called The Patient Experience Vertical. And I want to talk about patient experience and stuff like this.
I
What
love
is the
it.
patient experience? How do we improve it? What work has to go into it? How's business work with it? And start getting a lot more people contributing into this conversation. And I love what I've built so far. And so many of the conversations feed into this. But I want to niche it down anymore. So all I'm going to pitch is, keep an eye out for the new podcast dropping because it's all going to be conversations like this. Like, how do we improve patient retention? How do we upsell? All this will be right. Everybody heard this. That's what this whole fucking discussion was about.
For sure.
This is going to be the ongoing, and get data people. How do we do data? I want to get a data guy on here to talk about the use of data, right? What KPIs? I want to get ops people on here. I want to get all this stuff on it. So we just are constantly, all I'm talking about every fucking week is this shit right
Yeah,
here.
this stuff. Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. It's cool. I love it, man. No, I can't wait for that podcast. It's gonna be phenomenal. And
Yeah, it's
anytime you
going
want.
to be fun, dude. And I'm doing it part of why would you change that? It's like because I'm going to be talking to really fucking smart people on where I'm from. And one of my first guests should be someone from Disney to talk patient experience, right?
Ooh,
That's what I
awesome.
want to start doing, dude, and be able to dig in from my knowledge to dig deeper into their knowledge, right?
Love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool, man. I love it.
All
And for
right.
those know the physio growth guy / physio-growth.com mentorship group, helping out doing conversations like this where people can make a ton of money up. This is a $5,000 conversation, right? People listen
Oh,
to this
dude,
podcast
easy, easy,
easily. You
dude.
just made
If
tons of
someone
money.
put this together and
I
put it in
know.
a program, in 30
100%.
days, they'd be seeing the results of it.
100%. Thousands of dollars. So thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it. Always appreciate your time, brother. Awesome stuff.
Awesome.
Cool.